Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Father Heart TV webcast. We are back. The Yay. Dynamic duo are back after the summer. So welcome. Welcome, everybody. It's feels good to be back. How are you, Barry? Yeah,
it is awesome, mate. And we were just talking about Mark and I were saying just before we started, will anybody join us? And we thought, well, at least it would be the two of us in the Trinity. So that was a good start. But we have noticed that some of our friends have joined us again. So we so are very thankful and honored that we could just experience this together. So, yeah, the launch of our 11th year doing this.
Amazing. Who would have thought? I know, doesn't it? And when you put the video of the Niagara Falls up the other day, your prayer video, I thought, oh yeah, I remember when you were doing that videoing 10 years ago when we were over in Canada.
And, yes, I was wondering if you'd remember that because you're the one that encouraged me to go on the Maid of the Mist, which we live within a half an hour of that world wonder and on the boat. And I'd never been on the boat before, so it was just like you convinced me to come on and win the great adventure. And yeah, the footage, I just, when I was looking just at the footage, and then of course you were right beside me when I was recording the footage, and it's just stunning that just the fall. So, but yeah, good memories. That was 10 years ago, my brother.
Amazing, so. Yeah, I know. And here we are. So, I mean, the other thing we were just saying before we came on live was we had a few technical glitches just getting online and getting everything set up. And, it's like I was doing a series of seminars last week, which and all the technology worked perfectly. Barry's been doing a school of ministry. The technology works perfectly. We come on the webcast and it all falls to pieces. Well, mine did. Barry's was fine. But there we go. I was thinking about this today, Barry. Both of us, you're doing a school of ministry this week. I did the seminars last week. But I was just thinking, in a way, it feels like doing the webcast is like coming back home. This is kind of like the two of us. It's where we started and it's just easy. Well, when the technology works, it's easy.
You know what? Even when it doesn't work, because we I think are a support mechanism for to each other, right? I mean, everybody, you have no idea the background chats back and forth in texting that Mark and I do during the week to try to, and of course Mark is he's got that amazing forensic mind from his skill sets as an accountant, and he's able to kind of source out things that I can't. But it takes a little bit of tweaking sometimes. But yes. Again, because we're in it together, we've been in it for so long, and of course we've been friends for, was it how 17 years?
18 years? Yeah, March 2003 we met.
Yeah, yeah. So it's over 17 years that you've been stuck with me,
and vice versa. Yeah, it's all good fun, but we're not really competitive. You understand that, of course, don't you? But you all know us so well, but we're not competitive. But we do have a sort of a toy race. Who can get the most toys over the summer break, and then we compare notes, and we send each other photographs of our new improved setup, and then next week we have a new and improved setup, and then the week after it's new and improved. But there are certain things I do not compete with, like the brick wall and the globe and the green screen and stuff. So, but it's all good fun.
Oh yeah, it's great. Well, I'd like to, if we want to spiritualize it, I would like to say that we spur each other on to good deeds.
Absolutely.
And they just might happen to manifest in more technology toys. But I think we're getting to a point where with all of the technology, I mean, who knows? I say this now, but next week I might think of something else. But I think we're almost there. We've been tweaking and enjoying every step of the way, by the way.
And I don't think I've got any more room in my room to have any more lights. And we were talking just before we came on air about the reaction of our wives when we get something new. Mine just laughs, and I think Barry's pretty much does the same.
My dear wife is kind of beyond laughter anymore. She just kind of you know, has a kind of a half smile, and she just stares like, what in the world are you doing
why?
Now? But
why do you need that? She,
they're both lovely and they're both supportive, but it's just, they understand boys and their toys.
They do, and they understand that our desire to get it as good as we can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so welcome back, everybody. It's just great having you all online with us again. You know, as we said, we've been doing this for 10 years, the start of our 11th year, and we kind of feel like we got a bit used to this format, this technology. We had no idea at the beginning of the year that this was going to be the way the whole world would be communicating. And yesterday in the UK, we heard from our government that we probably got another 6 months of different levels of restrictions. If we go down the pub now, we have to be out by 10 o'clock and not a minute later. So, you know, we live in a very, very strange world. But I just want to keep, I just want to encourage me, myself, and all of us, really, that even in the midst of strangeness, bizarreness, chaos, we can live in peace because our God, our Father, is a Father of peace. And I think, I don't know about you, Barry, but one of the things that's surprised me in a nice way is, you know, with all this chaos and all this change and all the ups and downs of all the restrictions, is actually how much peace I've kept in my heart. And I think, something's happened over the past few years.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, it's none of this stuff, even though it, you know, it is challenging at times, it's not being a surprise to our Heavenly Father. It's not like, oh my gosh, what do we do now? So it's just
pandemic.
Like, if he's got it in hand, you know, then let's just keep it there and not try to you know, take back any kind of you know, responsibilities for the world peace or anything else back not, on our shoulders.
Not tonight, anyway.
Not tonight.
Not tonight. No. So, yeah. Well, we kind of might be having a two-part talk tonight. I think, I don't know how it's going to work out, but we've kind of labeled it as a discussion between the two of us. But it may end up as two separate talks. It may end up as more of a discussion. We haven't rehearsed it, have we, Barry? We're just going to start and see where we go. But as is our normal, we kind of have a conversation on about Sunday night or Monday by text. You know, any thoughts for Wednesday? And we normally, whoever sends a text first, the other person says, me? No! I'm waiting for you to have some ideas. So I always try to send the text, you know, to get the response from Barry to do it. So we had our little text back and forth on Sunday or Monday, and kind of feel like we've been thinking about something similar from different angles. So we're just going to put them together and see where we end up with it, really. Because I don't know, I think, I mean, those of you who follow Barry's website and his Facebook pages, you'll have seen that the other day he posted an audio blog about the two trees and a childlike heart. And I hadn't been thinking of the two trees side of things, but I'd been thinking about the childlike heart and kind of feel like we were just putting some stuff together in our respective heads or hearts or whatever. And so I guess we're just going to sort of take a run at it tonight and see where we go.
Well, and I think that the reality is that we are, we've been so in sync in our heart, in what we, how this revelation has changed us. And even though we have different personalities, you know, and that we just are just lockstep. So it's something like this. And of course, we've been doing this for so long. It's just like we're having a coffee in the living room across from each other, and so it's just, we just trust that it'll all work out in the wash. And if it doesn't, we know that you are so gracious and you're so kind that you know, you'll cut us a little bit of slack. So
just before we get going, Barry, you've got a run of School of Ministries over the this week, next week, and every other week. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about what you're up to?
Yes, this week I'm doing an online school of ministry with in Toronto, Catch the Fire, and it's just with our dear friends Gordon and Kathy Harris, and of course they have been dealing with the same issues as most people around the world, where it's been limited the having international students come. So they have, in their amazingly creative way, they've created an online version of their school of ministry. So this week, two time zones, twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening, I am speaking online at the School of Ministry in Toronto, like I would. And then next week, I actually come in person to Toronto, and it's an in-person school, of course, with all of the COVID guidelines in place, but for Canadians only, because of course Canada isn't open to international visitors, I think, at this point. And then the week after, I am actually doing an online school in South Korea. And so it's my dear friends there. So it's amazing, I just feel like there has just been such a, when you're handed a lemon and you can make lemonade, it just seems like the Father has, not me, but it just seems like he's there. And Mark, same thing for you, right? You've been doing a lot of schools and seminars and you do weekends online. And so, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, last week we had part two of the seminars. Did the first part with Barry at the end of June. Last week did a three-day series with Wynette from the Netherlands. Really good time. Really enjoyed it. Felt like it went really well. And for Wynette, it was her first time doing something online, and she did brilliantly. Just came across so naturally. And so now that's out of the way. I've started planning part three, which I'm doing with Trevor Galpin in November. So looking forward. We're going to be talking about sonship in those 3 days, and I'll have all the details on the website in the next week or so. And then in 2 weeks' time, I was supposed to be getting on one of those things called an aeroplane. And I got my ticket booked, and I was going to go to Denmark and do a 5-day conference with Trevor. And then British Airways cancelled the flight. I was able to rebook it, but every time I came to rebook it and press the button, I just didn't have peace in my heart about it. So Trevor's going, and I'm staying at home, and I'm going to do my sessions I'm going to do them live on YouTube, and the conference in Denmark will be watching them live streamed. So
that's amazing.
And the day after I made the decision, Denmark have cut back. They could have 100 people meeting. They've now only, I think, 50. And the number of cases and so on is rising there as well. So just for my own sense of peace, it felt like the thing to do to stay at home on that one. Mm-hmm. So British Airways refunded my cancelled tickets. And one day, who knows? It may happen. So, shall we get going, Barry?
Yes, let's go for it.
Well, do you want to pray for us?
Oh, yes, my joy. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you that you are in control.
Yes.
Our governments aren't in control, the best that humanity has to try to sort things out aren't in control. You are in control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of our lives, you are our Father, and we thank you that we can just really, really just be little kids with a big dad, and that you can just take care of all the details.
Yes.
And thank you for every one of our friends that's watching live, and for those who are watching afterwards. Father, we thank you. We pray a blessing on them. We pray a blessing on their families. And Father, as Mark talked about already, that substance of peace that passes understanding. Father, we ask that your peace would reign, your peace would rule, your peace would guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, that we could sleep in the middle of the biggest of storms, just knowing who our Father is, and that you have everything in control in your big, strong hands. So we just commit this time to you, Father, and we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just lead us. You would guide us into all truth and just show us what we should say today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I just want to start off in a very familiar passage, which is something we've talked about very often, but it's that passage in Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus talks about the revelation of the Father and coming to him and finding rest and so on. But, you know, those verses 25 to 30, there are three distinct statements or three distinct sections that in every Bible are always put together. You know, it's like they're a paragraph and there's a heading. And every Bible translation we look at, those three sections, those three statements are always linked together. But do you know what? We read them in isolation. Mm. Or we're taught them in isolation. And we therefore don't get the flow of what Jesus is saying. And we don't actually make the link between the first one and the last one. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our Bibles, our Bible translators, our Bible editors have put them together. Jesus said them together. And I was reflecting on this, and I don't think I've ever heard anybody talk about the whole passage as a passage. I've heard about people talk about the first one or the second one or the third one, but they've never really linked them together. And so tonight we're going to relink them and we're going to put them together. And I want to try and build a little bit of a link. And then I think that will flow very nicely into some of the things that Barry's been thinking about. And we'll just see where it goes. But let's just look at this passage. It's Matthew 11, 25 to 30. And it's very familiar, but I'm going to read it anyway. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned, and you've revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do." Then the second section is this: "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And the third section is, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, those are so familiar, but let's just try and look at them individually and then put them together. Barry, you are welcome to jump in anytime you want to and interrupt me and whatever. But so the first section there, Jesus talks, you know, he says, "Father, you've hidden these things from the wise and learned, and you've revealed them to little children." That is a deliberate act of the Father. You know, the Father didn't just lose something and it mislaid it. He deliberately chose to hide it from the wise and learned. Mm. And that was his intention. And in fact, Jesus tells us it was more than his intention. And it always makes me chuckle when I read this. It was his good pleasure. It's like the Father thinks, I'm gonna have a laugh here. You know, I'm going to get one up on them. I'm going to deal with the stupidity of their minds and their intellect. You know, this is my good pleasure. And it's like, every time I read it, and one of the translations, you know, said, "This is what you're pleased to do." It's like the Father's having a bit of a joke here, because he's deliberately hidden something from the wise and learned, and he's revealed it to little children. You see, the wise and learned think they can get it on their own. They think they should be able to get it through their own intellect or their own opinion or their own ability. But what Jesus says here is the things that are hidden, it is not possible to receive through intellect. You might get an intellectual understanding, but you cannot receive the truth of it with your intellect, because it's been hidden from those people or those of us, or even us when we come, it's hidden from me when I come at it with an intellectual mind. When Mark, the intellect, comes at this, I cannot find the secrets of the kingdom. But when Mark, the little child, as we'll see later, comes at this, then you can see the secret. So, you know, this is not something we're putting on everybody else who we think is wise and learned. This is actually something we can put on ourselves and say, when I come at this with my wisdom and my intellect, I cannot find it because it's been hidden from intellect. And that's the Father's deliberate intention, because there's something going on here where the Father is saying, this is not about your mind. This is not about you receiving information and processing it and gaining facts and knowledge. This is about having a heart understanding. You see, our education system, of course, wants to make us wise and learned. It thinks that knowledge is the key. And so we're kind of brought up in this environment of acquiring knowledge, thinking it's the answer to all of our problems. But actually what Jesus says in this first section here is there is a different hidden way that can only be revealed to those with a childlike heart. Jesus says, you've hidden these things from the wise and learned, and you've revealed them to little children. And, you know, Jesus thanks his Father that it's been hidden. Jesus thanks his Father that it's not something for the wise and learned. And that, to me, implies that there is a better way of grasping the keys of the kingdom. Mm. You see, and, you know, the better way is the childlike heart that Jesus says. So that's the first section. Jesus says there are certain things that are hidden from your intellect, and you can only receive them in your heart when you come as a little child. That's the best way for us to get hold of these secrets. And in the second section, Jesus says, no one knows the Father except the Son, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. See, this is the central revelation of the kingdom, that God is a Father. This is what the kingdom of God is all about. See, Jesus says in John 17, he said, I have revealed you and I will go on revealing you. Mm. And John 17 is a list of the different ways in which Jesus has revealed the Father through his earthly ministry. And so, you know, Jesus says, no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And this, to me, is the central revelation of what the kingdom is all about. You see, Jesus starts off verse 25. He says, these things have been hidden from the wise and learned. Everything has been given to the Son, to Jesus. And you know, all knowledge and all revelation has been given to Jesus. But the thing that he chooses to put so much weight and emphasis on is who his Father is. It's that revelation of the Father. That's what's been hidden. And we don't have to look very far to really see that this treasure of who the Father is hidden from the vast masses of Christianity. You know, it's like we know Jesus, we know the Holy Spirit, we understand what the church could be doing or should be doing or might be doing. But somehow this central revelation has been hidden. And the central revelation is that God is our Father. God is my Father. God is your Father. And that's what the Father wants to reveal. But he doesn't give, he's waiting for something. He's holding off. Well, no, he's not holding off. He's longing to reveal it, but people are unable to see it because they haven't got a childlike heart. And so to me, what this shows is this is not about knowledge. This is not about intellect. This is about a heart connection and a heart revelation. And then, of course, the third section that we all know very well is, you know, come to me and I will give you rest. You see, to me, this is showing the progression. This is like the goal of what Jesus is talking about. This journey that Jesus is describing in these verses is leading somewhere, and it's leading to a life of rest. And those of you who've heard me talk before, you will have heard me mention the story of Cain and Abel, where Cain kills his brother, and God the Father comes to him and says, Cain, your punishment, the consequence of what you've done, is you will be a restless wanderer on the face of the earth. And to me, that describes the orphan heart. And when we live as an orphan, there's something inside of us that is restless, restlessly wandering. And Jesus says here, I've come to give you rest. And to me, a life of rest is the life of a son. And that's what Jesus is saying. He says, these things have been hidden. This revelation has been hidden from the wise and learned. It's been revealed to little children. The principal central revelation of the kingdom is that God is a father. And that revelation is revealed to little children. And Jesus says, if you get it, then the restless wandering in your heart will come to an end. And you see, that's why I think it's so important to link these things together. Because we've heard so many people talk about Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me and find rest. You know, find a light burden. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And we go out of the room still carrying a heavy burden, still carrying a heavy yoke. And we haven't got any peace and we haven't got any rest. And that's because we've come to this thing in isolation, not realizing that we have to get hold of the central revelation of the kingdom first.
Yeah.
Because we can only have a life of rest when we live as sons.
Yeah.
When we live as orphans, we will be restless wanderers on the face of the earth. But we can only come as sons when we see who the Father is. And we can only see who the Father is when we come with a childlike heart. Because without that childlike heart, it's hidden. So we don't see who the Father is. And so therefore, we cannot fully enter this life of rest.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about rest, but we fail to see that rest is a relationship. And the relationship is a father-son relationship. And, you know, that's why, and I was just thinking about these verses the other day and thinking they have got to be put back together again. Because that's what life in all its fullness is about.
Yeah.
It's a life of relationship. And it's, see, the revelation of the Father is kind of like the bridge between having a childlike heart and entering the life of a son. You see, they have to flow together, because without a childlike heart, if we don't have a childlike heart, we get caught in what I call the upward striving to please God. And I just want to show, when I talk about the two trees in Genesis in the garden, I got a little slideshow that I put up. I just want to show you one slide and just explain what I mean by the upward striving of trying to please God through our behavior or our actions, because that's the heart of an orphan. And so, there's a lot on this slide, but I'll try and explain it. So this is my picture. Okay, so we've got the two trees in the garden. We've got the tree on the left, as you look at it, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And on the right, we've got the tree of life. And what I see is that if we live in an orphan-hearted way, we are trying to climb up the tree of knowledge of good and evil in order to have a connection with the Trinity. So we are constantly trying to do good, or we're constantly trying not to do evil. And of course, that's an impossible struggle. It's an endless struggle. It's a challenge, and it's completely exhausting. But that's what I call the upward striving of trying to please God. You know, it's, I've got to climb the tree to get myself into the place where God notices me and maybe blesses me. Whereas, of course, the other tree, of the tree of life, is the downward flow of life from heaven into my heart. It's the downward flow of life from the Father into the heart of sonship. And so that's kind of like how I explain it. That's how I kind of like show the picture. And when we start connecting these three things in Matthew 11, we're actually beginning to live from the tree of life. Because we're beginning to understand what it means to be recipients of life rather than people who strive to get somewhere. So I kind of want to just hand over to Barry at this point, because I kind of feel that leads into some of the thoughts he's been having. And but you are more than welcome to add anything or take anything away from what I've said.
Well, as I say, a big amen to everything you said, and it was brilliant, and I love the just how you tied it all together. And I'm with you on it that in a sense it's a bit of a mystery in how these three passages within the one bigger passage haven't been tied together. And really the only way they really make sense is when you do connect all the dots and you realize that the revelation of the Father heart of God is revealed to little children. And in that place, when Jesus even extended the invitation to come to me, all you that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And it's one of the very few places in scripture where Jesus describes himself. And he says, I am gentle and humble in heart. And he says, and you shall find rest to your souls. And when you think of gentle, humble people on planet Earth, who do you think of? For me, I think of little kids. Like, they're the most tender-hearted, gentle, filled with humility. And of course, when Jesus talked to his disciples in Matthew 18 about the greatest in the kingdom, and he said, bring a little child to me, he said to his disciples, unless you turn, unless you change, unless you repent and humble yourself and become like little children, you're going to miss the wonders of the kingdom. So Mark and I are just absolutely in lockstep with this stuff. And, you know, so everything he's saying, I'm going, yes, 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 go for it, Mark. And it's funny because oftentimes, you know, Mark's thinking about these three passages of scripture this last week. And I've been thinking about the two trees. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm just going to record my ramblings. I call them ponderings in just an audio that I put to video that's on the Two Trees and a Childlike Heart, I call it. It's on fatherheart.tv on the main page. But I started to ponder this question I was asking the Father. Just what makes little children so great in your eyes? You know, and I think this is, of course, when you deal with the scripture where Jesus says, I thank you, Father, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children, little infants. And it's interesting that the Greek word for babies there or infants or little children is untaught, unskilled babies. Wordless infants, like that we can't even form words yet, and that is the posture of the heart where the Father just delights to reveal his kingdom. And so, you know, when I was asking the Lord, and of course I did some ponderings in this recording, but I thought, what is it about little children that you find absolutely spectacular? Because in Luke 18, even Jesus is talking, and he, you know, in verses 15 to 17, he talks about, don't prevent the little children from coming to me, for the kingdom belongs to such as these. And so the kingdom is, you know, and I remember hearing a quote or reading a quote from Brennan Manning, and he said, heaven is going to be filled with five-year-olds. So I think maybe we want to start preparing our hearts for it. But when I started to think about it, and I looked back at the original account of the two trees in the Garden of Eden, and they're first mentioned in Genesis chapter 2, but in Genesis 3 we read the story of the fall of Adam and Eve, and it starts with this serpent that is a deceiver, right? It's when the serpent comes to Eve and basically says, like, you know what? If you eat out of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. And really, God's insecure. He doesn't want you to do that. And you're not going to die. You're just going to become like God. Because in verse 5, it says, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, even in that temptation itself, it almost sounds like it's, well, I want to be like God. Do you want to be like God, knowing good? Like it almost feels like there is a underlying thought of, you know, it's a noble intention because I want to be like God. And it says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good and good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to man and said, where are you? He answered, I heard in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And I just, this next line where the father speaks to Adam, he says, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? And, you know, I think when it comes down to it, I think the thing that makes little children absolutely spectacular in the eyes of the father is that they don't carry any adult-sized ego. They don't have any power. They don't have any self-sufficiency. They don't have any independence in themselves. They are born with completely in innocent, trusting hearts. They don't have anything to lean on their own understanding to. And I think that is what, when we talk about eating from the right tree, when we talk about coming back to that place of the innocence and the simplicity that is found in Christ, that, you know, we have the opportunity to be reconnected with God as a father, where we are his kids, and we get to return to the beautiful simplicity of the garden again, where God becomes our father. Jesus, you know, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in me is the hope of glory. It's not me in my own effort, in my own self-sufficiency, but it's just the very thing that got Adam and Eve in trouble in the first place was this lie that, you know, that they, that has an appearance of wisdom. Because oftentimes when we even think of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we almost think of it as the knowledge of evil, that it's dark, it's bad stuff, it's all those, but it's the knowledge of good and evil, and it has an appearance of wisdom. And, you know, if we're not careful, we have this perception that if we eat from that tree, we're going to be like God. But it's the end of that is destruction. And so I really believe this beautiful passage of scripture in Matthew 11, where Jesus talks about the revelation. You see, because I think it's hidden from the wise and the learned, because they really, they aren't dependent. They aren't needy. They aren't weak. You know, they are self-sufficient. They are leaning to their own understanding. And so the invitation to be completely dependent, to be small, to be innocent, to have no sense of self-sufficiency in your own being isn't necessarily attractive, because, you know, they've been learning and developing things. But the good news for each and every one of us, I believe, is that when Jesus talked to his disciples and he said, there is a way for you and I to have a transformation, to change. And that revelation, if coming into the revelation of the Father's love, is knowing that Jesus came 2,000 years ago to bring a revelation of his dad to us, so that his father could become our father, so that we wouldn't have to eat out of that wrong tree again, and that we could just enter into the rest that Jesus talked about in Matthew 11, rest for our souls, you know, that because Jesus is gentle and humble in heart, just like little children. And the invitation is that we don't see, I really believe that we were never designed to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. We were never designed. God never designed the human body, the intellect, the soul, to try to figure out right from wrong, good from evil. See, we were designed to eat from a tree of knowledge of a tree of life, where the Father would speak and the Father would tell us. We would be eating from the, drinking from the life source of the vine. And John 15, when Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches, my Father is the gardener, he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so I really believe that John 15 is the new covenant Garden of Eden, that we have been joined with Jesus. Now he's the vine, he's our sustenance, and we are just little branches. But the thing is that everything that Jesus is ours by virtue of our union with him. But it's not about anything apart from him, because he said, apart from him, we can do nothing. So I don't know, Mark, that is just my thoughts to kind of on just the appearance of the tree of knowledge of good and evil sounds really good, but it's we're just, you know, operating in our own resources, right? And how does that work? And, you know, I love that Eugene Peterson's version of Matthew 11. I don't know if you are familiar that you could quote it or not, but it just, you know, being tired and burned out and, you know, it's just like, especially in this world that we're living in. And I think that's one of the reasons why I started to ask the Father just this last week about the two trees, a little bit more, just thinking about it. I've been thinking about it for years, but just asking a little bit more specifically is because we are living in a world system now that's way bigger than any of us can manage.
Yeah.
Like the best minds of the world can't figure out a solution for what we're in. So are we going to try to carry that weight on our shoulders, or are we going to be able to cast every care onto our Father because he cares for us?
Yeah, the message that Barry was just referring to, that those last few verses, it says this, it says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Mm. And I don't know about you, but that's what I want to do. I want to live freely and lightly, you know, whatever that looks like, whatever that means, because it's just, I think that's how Jesus lived. I think that's how the Apostle Paul learned to live, even through all his hardships and everything. And for me, finding that place, see, that's the life of a son. Living freely and lightly is the life of a son. And we can only live like that if we've got this childlike heart. I know I've said this before, but it was a real shock to me a couple of years, 2 or 3 years ago, when I realized that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was the knowledge of good just as much as it was the knowledge of evil. And like you said, Barry, I think we focus on it being the tree of, you know, we read the knowledge of good and evil, but in our minds we think the tree of evil, and we focus, we spend our lives trying to do good. And of course there's nothing wrong with doing good, but it's the motivation and it's the heart behind it. I mean, you know, we are called to good works, so, you know, I'm not saying we don't do good, but it's what's behind that. But when I realized, when I saw that it was a tree of the knowledge of good as much as it was the knowledge of evil, that's a real wake-up call. And, you know, that's what we spent our lives doing, is climbing up the wrong tree. And it hasn't done us much good. But I just think that this, you see, Jesus says in Matthew, he says, you know, no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. You see, The Passion Translation says, "No one fully and intimately knows the Father except the Son, and the Son is able to unveil the Father to anyone he chooses to." See, Jesus is in the business of unveiling the Father. And, you know, I think sometimes our orphan heart can read that, and we can, because of our background or our rejection we feel or whatever, we read that as a selective statement. You know, yeah, Jesus is able to reveal the Father to anyone he chooses, but he hasn't chosen me. Mm. Or he's chosen Barry and Mark, but he's not chosen me. But I don't believe it's saying that. It is saying that because those are the words on the page. But I believe that Jesus is longing to reveal the Father to everyone.
Mm.
And he's not selective. He reveals the Father as much to you as he does to me. But the question is can the eyes of my heart see it?
Yeah.
And you see, it's the orphanness inside of us that thinks that, oh, Jesus won't reveal the Father to me. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. I haven't prayed enough. I haven't read my Bible enough. I'm still bogged down with sin and shame and guilt and condemnation, and you know, and he'll never reveal the Father to me. But actually Jesus is longing to reveal the Father to each one of us.
Mm.
And he's not being selective. He's being completely free. This is a free gift. He wants each one of us to know that God is a Father to us. And so, you know, I go back again, the Passion Translation, verse 26, it says, "Yes, Father, your plan delights your heart." I love it. "Your plan delights your heart as you've chosen this way to extend your kingdom by giving it to those who have become like trusting children."
Mm.
And you see, that's the thing that enables us to see this central revelation of the kingdom. The kingdom of God. Yeah. The kingdom of God has been made complicated.
Yeah.
But I did a study of this afresh at the beginning of this year. And I looked at all of the passages where Jesus was talking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And I came to a conclusion. And my conclusion was, the kingdom of God must be a family.
Mm.
Because so many times throughout the Gospels, Jesus says the kingdom is revealed to little children. Or the only way to see it is to... And I think, okay, children get the kingdom. Children enter in. So what are they entering into? What do children enter into? Children enter into a family. So to me, the kingdom of heaven must be a family. And when we try and think of it as a formula or a way of living, we're missing the point.
Mm.
But I think when we can see the kingdom of heaven as a family, we enter in and we just got a dad. We got a father and we got an elder brother and we got a family together.
Yeah.
And that's what Paul, I think, is talking about when he's talking about weakness. Because he's basically saying the kingdom of heaven is coming in weakness. And what is the best picture of weakness? It's a little child.
Yeah.
And so, those are my thoughts, Barry.
No, it's very good. I was just trying to look up the scripture in Corinthians where, and you might have it right closer to hand than me, but where Paul was saying to the Corinthians, he said, I'm afraid that you're missing the simplicity in Christ, you know, by the way that the serpent deceived Eve, right? And it's just this deception of thinking that and somehow we can live out of a tree of carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders, trying to manage good from evil. Like Jesus himself said in John 5, he said, the Son can do nothing of himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. Can you imagine what life could look like for you and I to come into that such a beautiful simplicity of heart that you don't have to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. You don't have to try to manage life and figure out life and where is you know, what's happening with the pandemic and what's my financial future? And are we going to have enough food next week to be able to come into that place of where Jesus lives? Mm-hmm. And he said, I can do nothing of myself. I only do what I see my Father doing. And I invite you to come into that same beautiful dependence, that same beautiful innocence. I don't know which Christian statesman said it, but somebody said, I heard say, it's amazing how we spend all our entire life trying to be wise and learned, yet Jesus was very clear that the kingdom is hidden from the wise and the learned and revealed to little children. The thing that is in the beautiful simplicity is there is a road that you mm-hmm. and I can turn and have a transformation. And that's where the Father comes and he pours his love into the little boy in our heart, the little girl in our heart. And that's where, you know, 22 years in this revelation, I am so, when I look back at Jack Winter and how he ministered and how he asked me the question, he asked many people before he prayed, he says, can you be a little boy, Barry, that needs to be loved? And I truly believe that inside each and every one of us is a little boy or a little mm-hmm. girl that just needs to be loved. And that when Jesus brought us is the salvation of Jesus, I'm the way, the truth, the life, no one comes to the Father but through me. It's to come home to that Father that we've been looking for our entire life, where we don't have to manage life, we don't have to figure it out, where he says to us, you know, when we are trying to, you know, we live in a world that's filled with measurements, filled with comparisons and all the things. And the Father, I know, I remember once when I was struggling with being really self-conscious in ministry and all things, and the Father said to me, Barry, who told you you were naked? And I wasn't, you know, physically, thank goodness, but in my heart, I felt vulnerable and I felt the need to cover myself, my nakedness, with fig leaves. And I just want to encourage you today. I believe there's a place, if you're feeling these things, if you're feeling self-conscious, as Mark said, Jesus extends an invitation for each and every one of us to come and find rest and ceasing from our own works.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but in this crazy world that we're living in, that is the best news ever.
Yeah.
So what do you think, mate? Should we pray?
Let's do that. I think so. Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
This is the wisdom of God, which appears as foolishness to the wise.
Yeah.
But it's just, to me, it's the substance of life itself.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yeah, Father, thank you. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you're loving each one of us right now. And Father, we do just want to acknowledge that so often and so many times we are the wise and learned. We've tried to make ourselves the wise and learned. Because pride puffs up, knowledge puffs up. We want to make ourselves look good. So, Father, we acknowledge that there's been those times that we've tried to make ourselves the wise and learned. And tonight, today, Father, we just want to lay that attitude to one side. We want to put that down. We want to let go of it. And we do, Father, want the eyes of our heart to be opened. So that we can see this hidden treasure of the kingdom. That, Father, as the eyes of our heart would be opened, we would see the true way that we are called to live and to walk, which is to come with a childlike heart in total dependence on you. That's what sacrifice is. That's what the sacrifice of our worship is. Is when we give up ourselves.
Yeah.
We give up our abilities and our strengths. We sacrifice those and we just come as, we let go of everything and just come as a little child. That's what I believe true worship is. And Father, may the eyes of our heart be open to see that, to receive this central revelation of the kingdom that you are a father. And you want to be a father to each one of us. So often we've struggled to find rest, but we've actually missed the most important key, which is having a childlike heart and allowing God to be a father to us. And out of that, rest will inevitably flow.
Yeah.
So I just want to speak life into you today. Everybody who's watching this video, I just speak life into you. That you would find life and rest for your souls as you come with a childlike heart and allow God to be a father to you. Father, may this revelation completely change our lives. That we really would discover what it means to walk as Jesus walked. Amen.
Yeah, and Father, I, for the questions that we have, how do I change? How do I turn? How do I go in the opposite direction and become little? Father, I just pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that is in our hearts, Father, that you would just direct us to those still waters, you would lead us to green pastures to lie down. And just show us, Father, that we were not created to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. We were never created to try to discern and be the judge of right from wrong.
Yeah.
We were created just to live in complete union with Jesus, who is in union with the Father, so we are in union with you. When Jesus prayed, I and them, Father, you and me, in John 17. So, Father, we just ask now by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would just take us by the hand, our little hands, and just show us the path less traveled. Father, that's not the wise and the learned, the prudent, that we would just be able to have an encounter with your love that just totally undoes every shred of ego and self-sufficiency and human effort, Father, that we would just be consumed with the glory of your love, and that would just bring us to that place of the beautiful humility of a child again. And Father, would you just show us how to navigate life with a big dad and not carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders? And as Mark prayed, that you would just show us this beautiful surrender. That we could just surrender our lives, Father, into your care, to your loving care, and not try to eat from the wrong tree as we go forward. Thank you, Jesus, that this is why you came, to bring us home, to bring the revelation of the Father, to give us that rest that we so desperately need. So in the best of our own ability, Father, we just position our hearts today to say, just bring a revelation of your fathering to my life. In a deeper way than I've ever known before. I need it. I cannot manage life on my own. In Jesus' name, Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Yes. Thank you, Father.
Wow. Ooh.
Yep.
Well.
So I think it's just me next week, isn't it?
Yes, because I'm going to be in Toronto.
You'll be in Toronto, yeah.
Toronto.
So next week, the link will be go to Father Heart. No, go to...
I'll have it.
You'll have a link, but essentially go to the Facebook page for A Father to You. And then it will be live from there from about hopefully 5 to 8 UK time. But Barry will hopefully be able to share it across to his page as well. But we'll be streaming onto A Father to You next week. No idea what we'll be doing or I'll be doing, but I'll... Something will no doubt come to mind by then. Thank you all for joining us. As you probably noticed, I had to change camera because I froze again, Barry. So quickly changed camera, so here we are. But hey, technology, it's good when it works. Have a good week, everybody. Bless you, and we'll see you next week.
Bless you. Thanks for coming. Bye.